Okay, so good evening. We're looking at Noach, Parshat Noach, the Parsha this week. And we have here the first pasuk. Ele toldot Noach. These are the generations of Noach. Noach ish tzadik. Noach was a righteous man. Tamim haya bedoratav. He was pure. He was perfect in his generations. Et olakim hitalech Noach. Noach walked with Hashem. And one of the points we note is that it says Ele toldot Noach. Noach. It's got the word Noach twice. Of course, Ele toldot Noach. These are the generations of Noach. And then Noach is tzaddik. Noach was a righteous man. But the point is, it puts the word Noach next to each other. And then there's an interesting question. What does it mean by saying that he is Ish Tzadik after telling us these are the generations of Noach? The next pasuk, it says, Vayoled Noach Shlosha Banim. Noach gave birth with his wife to three sons. Her name was Naama. So Noach gave birth to three sons at Shemet, Ham, Bet, Yafet. So why does it say Noach Ish Tzadik after these are the generations of Noach? Noach was a righteous man. Why doesn't it just tell us who his children were? What were his generations? So Rashi says, "Lelamedcha she'ika toldotem shel tzadikim ma'asim tovim," to tell us that the main generations of a righteous person are good deeds. So by telling us that he's a righteous person, that is, and that he tamim haya bedoratav, that he was pure in his generations, et elokim italech Noach, that Noach walked with God, these are the real generations of Noach. And that is the, of course, then it goes on and tells us about the making of the ark, God telling him about the ark, and eventually, in a verse that we don't have in front of us, God tells him to come into the ark. Over here on verse 16, it says Tzoha taselateva, you should make a window for the ark. Or some say it was a precious stone which gave light. And then later on everyone is told Bo elateva, to come into the ark. Each of these concepts come into the ark. The word teva means ark and also means word. So it can be the word of Torah or the word of tefillah, the word of Torah study or the word of prayer. And the idea of tzoha, of making something radiant in the ark. These are famous Hasidic interpretations found in books like Keter Shem Tov. And so it's in terms of this that the discourse will refer to these concepts at some point. It was said in 1981. Shabbat the 3rd of Cheshvan, today was the 2nd of Cheshvan, in 1981. So, to prepare for the discourse, we'll have the Maimer Nigun, the melody of the discourse. Oh, ya, 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 ma, yo, ya, yo. Ho, ya, ya, yo, ma, bo. Ho, ya, ma, ma, ya, ma, yo, ma, bo. Ha yiridam ba ya yiridam ba yum Ahoy, ya yeriramba, ya yahoy, ya yeriramba, yamba yom. Ho yeriramba, ho yeriramba, ho yamba yamba yeriramba. Ho ya yamba yeriramba. Ho ya ya ho yo yo yo. Eile toldot Noach, Noach is tzaddik. These are the generations of Noach. Noach was a righteous man. It's known, the point that is pointed out. Mashenema Noach Noach Beit Pamim, the fact that it says Noach twice. V'yesh bezeh, kama biyorim, there are a number of explanations of this. But Tosefta Lazoha, in the additions which are at the end of the, which are the additions which are in the Zohar, not the end of the Zohar, in the Zohar it's got sections occasionally which it says are additions. These were presumably organized by the printer when he first came to print the manuscripts of the Zohar. And the Zohar combines a number of different books. The Zohar, Raya Mehemna, various other books as well, which are somehow, the printer managed quite a masterly job to put them all on the page according to Parshat HaShavua. And sometimes there are sections which are called the extra part, Tosefta. So in the Tosefta to the Zohar, it explains, Metaretz, Kol tzaddik v'tzaddik diba'alma, every tzaddik, every righteous person, every tzaddik in the world, it leitchein ruchin, has got two spiritual dimensions. Bechinat nefesh, one is called nefesh, the other is called ruach. So we speak about different dimensions of the soul. So there is nefesh, ruach, neshama, even chaya, yechida. You can speak of five dimensions of the soul. But here the Zohar is speaking of two dimensions of the soul. Ruach achad ba'almadein, one spirit, one soul, as it were, one aspect of the soul. All these are aspects of the divine soul. One aspect of the soul is in this world. Ruach achad ba'almadati. And another aspect of the soul is in the world to come. V'hachi tishkach b'chulit tzaddiki, and thus we find with all the great tzaddikim in the Torah, Moshe, Moshe. There's a verse, Moshe, Moshe, where Moshe's name is doubled. Yaakov, Yaakov. The same with Jacob, and the same with Avraham, Avraham. Each of these figures, you find their name doubled. Bam Yitzchak, except for Isaac, Yitzchak. The Loktiv Bei, Kamadichtibahu, with Isaac, it's not written in that way that it's written with them. Begin the Yitzchak Bashata, now, because with Yitzchak, Bashata di Itkarev al Gabi Madbacha, at the time he was offered up on the altar. Navka Mishmatei Dahabat Bei Bahayalma, the soul that he has in this world departed from him. V'tavat bei nishmatei da'alma da'ati. And what came back to him was only the soul of the world to come. So that means Yitzchak is on a higher level. He doesn't have the soul which is in this world. He's in a higher level soul only.
Does that mean he's lacking something?
Well, it means he's more spiritual. And because he's more spiritual, he couldn't leave the land of Israel, and he couldn't marry more than one wife. So he is the only one of the Avot who only married one wife. He married Rivka. So there is this.
This is because his soul belongs to the world to come. So it serves as a model for what, in fact, was to come, in a way.
Yeah, in which sense?
In the sense that you have spiritual balance between one man, one wife.
Ah, you mean in general? In the in later times. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good point. You know, if one were exploring all the imagery about monogamy in Judaism and the trends to monogamy in different ways, even though there seems to be a halachic permission for polygamy, but there were, you know, strong trends towards monogamy, and this would be included in that. It's interesting, this idea of a tzaddik, in a sense, being in two places at once. There's a famous letter by the Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, which describes an ascent of the soul, where Aliyat HaNeshama, where he rises to upper worlds. And he sees there people who are living and people who are dead in this upper realm. And also he himself is not sure whether he is still alive or if he is dead. He doesn't know. So this sense of, you know, the soul being in this world and the soul being in another world as well.
So the alive or dead is the body.
Well, if the soul is in the body, then it's alive. But if the soul has departed from the body in a permanent way, then it's dead. Or if the soul isn't going to come back into the body, then we say the body has died. Mm. But then the soul might come back to the body. There's the concept of Tchiyat HaMeitim, the revival of the dead in the time of Mashiach. But apart from that, there's the body here in this world, and the soul as the life force of the body. And there are different levels at which the soul leaves the body. I mean, just sleep is a 60th of death. So when we wake up, we say Modeani, we say in another prayer, Adakai, Modeani Lefanecha, we thank you, God, for giving us back our soul. It's, what were you going to say?
No. Okay. I was going to, I don't know if you were picking up on my thoughts, yeah. But what I was going to say is that that's seeing death at the physical level. You can also see death at the spiritual level. So where the Baal Shem Tov ascends and meets those who are living and those who are dead, it's like there could be different gradations and different levels of these souls. So for example, those who seem from our physical point of view as dead may in fact be much more alive and have a vibrant spirit where he encountered them. And those who were truly dead in his estimation may have been those, for instance, who might be undergoing some kind of spiritual purgatory. But what I'm trying to suggest is that even beyond physical death, there is different approaches to spiritual death, in the sense that on the one hand you can have those who are in some kind of spiritual purgatory, but on the other hand you can have those who are dead souls but are enjoying a new lease of spiritual life and regeneration, and that actually could be something more evocative of their spirit and more expressive than people who are presently alive.
In the Talmud you have the concept that tzadikim b'mitatan koin chayim, the tzadikim when they're dead they're called alive, and rashayim b'chayim koin meitim, and the rashayim, the wicked, when they're alive they're called dead. Incidentally, his letter also mentions the presence of Rasha'im, quite apart from the people who are living and dead, or as well as that measure, there were also people who were Rasha'im, wicked people, who were repenting, and they were repenting, and their repentance was being accepted.
This is from the word Rasha.
Yes, gotcha. Yes, Rasha in the singular, Rasha'im in the plural. All right, well, that's it's obviously it's an intriguing passage in the Zohar, and the way it's discussed here in this discourse, from the word nimtza, which is around halfway down in the first paragraph. Nimtza demafaresh bazohar. So this means, it explains in the Zohar, demar shenema noach beit pamim. The fact that it says noach twice. It hints at the spirit, which or the soul in this world, and the soul in the world to come. Now we learn in the midrash, the word Noach means the resting or the pleasantness of the spirit. The fact that it says Noach twice, this means a pleasantness for the upper worlds, and a pleasantness for the lower worlds. Or the other way around. Or pleasantness for the lower worlds and pleasantness for the upper worlds. One can suggest that these two explanations, the soul in this world and the soul in the world to come, and pleasantness to in the lower world and to the upper world, shayachin zel lezeh. These two commentaries complement each other. The amru razal, because the sages tell us, hayom lasotam ulamachal lekabel scharam. Today we do the mitzvah. Tomorrow we receive their reward. Umezeh nimtza, from this means, the alma dein hu betachtonim. This world is the lower world. Sha'alav amru razal hayom la'asotam, concerning which the sages said, today to do the mitzvah. So when it's saying the lower world, it's talking about today, the world of action, where we're doing mitzvah. Va'alma da'ati hula be'elyonim, and the world to come is in the upper realm. Sha'alav amru razal l'macha l'kabel s'charam, about which the sages say, tomorrow to receive their reward. So we have this idea of different dimensions of world. This world and upper or future worlds, which are worlds of the world of this worldly reality where we do the mitzvah, and an upper world, which is a world of spiritual reward. And that is the quality of Noach the tzaddik, and Avraham, and the other people mentioned, that they are all in two worlds at the same time, because of their righteousness, because of their special spiritual quality. Now, one of the things that we get in this discourse, as it unfolds, is that this actually applies to all of us. It's not only Noach, the tzaddik, it actually applies to every person in their own service of God. But at this point, it makes it focuses on a different issue. So this concept, which has been defined in the first paragraph, later on we return to it as something which is for every Jew. But now he takes a second point in the second paragraph. But tzarich lahavin, we have to understand another point in the teachings of the previous Chabad Rebbein. It's interesting.
It's not there.
Yes, in the teachings of our Rebbeim, these further points are not brought. So the ones that he's mentioned above, it is brought, as he mentions in footnote 2. He gives a list of references, whereas he gives a reference quoted in Or HaTorah, whereas the following point is not quoted in previous Chabad writings. Dihine l'shna perushim anal, concerning these two comments, harimash ne'ma noach noach shtei pamim, the idea that it says noach twice, harizem moreh al shleimut avodato, This is talking about the perfection of his service. The haruach sheba alma dein, the spirit or the soul in this world, uba alma da'ati, and in the upper world, or the world to come, hu b'shleimut avodato. This is when he has completed, when he's perfected his service. V'chein naichel elyonim v'naichel tachtonim. Similarly, the other way of expressing it, that he is pleasant to the upper worlds, pleasant to the lower worlds, hu b'shleimut avodato, is when he has perfected his service later in his life. So the question is, the question which hasn't been asked before in Chabad teachings, v'im kein lama ne'ma noach noach shtei pamim. Why does it say Noach twice? Behemshech le'ele toldot, right at the beginning when it says these are the generations of Noach. Shehakavana be'ele toldot kanhu. What it means when it says these are the generations here, k'mo sheperush Rashi, as Rashi explained, she'ika toldotem shel tzadikim ein masim tovim. The main progeny of a tzaddik are his good deeds. And that means, da'ainu b'tchilat avodato, we're talking about the beginning of his service. V'lo ne'mazeh, but this is not said, this Noach, Noach, twice, is not said, la'achalei hamabul, after he's gone through the whole difficult period of the flood, ka'asher v'ayorach Hashem at reach and yechoach, and he offered offerings to God, and God smelled, so to speak, the sweet savor. B'shleimut avodato, when his work was perfected. It's not at the end of his service, it's at the beginning. And that's a question. Why is that? Surely, this level of achieving the quality of this double position of being in this world and being at the same time in the future world, surely this comes from spiritual maturity. Whereas here, it seems to be right at the beginning of the whole account of Noach. U'bifrat, Avraham, Yaakov, and Moshe, when it's talking about Abraham, Yaakov, and Moshe, Shehuch plush boteim beit pamim, whose names were double, Nemaze b'shleimut avodatam, the verse in each case is later on in their life when they had completed their service. Obiyote enimuvana, it's further not understood, La'perush shnei pamim Noach u'naichel elyonim u'naichel tachtonim, the idea that this doubling of the name Noach is pleasant for the upper and for the lower world. Hare ha'naichel le'tachtonim, the pleasantness for the lower world, ni'a dafka la'achalei sheveyorech Hashem et reach enichot. Surely that only came after the whole thing of the flood had finished and he'd offered the offering and God smelt the sweet savor. He doesn't, sha'az na'ase ha'naichel le'tachtonim. Then he did something positive for the lower worlds, ultimately. The odd kol yemei ha'aretz zecha b'katze kol b'chon b'kaitz v'chodef v'yom b'leila lo yishbotu. Then it was that God says, on account of the srut of Noach, who has now survived the flood together with the people and the animals that God told him to take in the ark, God now says that all the days of the world, the seasons and the day and night will not cease, because they did cease during the flood. At Kashti Natati Ba'anan, and God put his rainbow in the clouds as a promise to the world. Now all this is a positive thing for the lower world. And this positive thing for the lower world was after the flood. V'yetera mizu, over the page now, on page 48. And more than this, Shegam anaychel elyonim niyadavka la'achel amabul. The pleasantness for the upper world also was after the flood. Ki anaychel elyonim talui ba'anaychel letachtonim, because the pleasantness for the upper world depends on the pleasantness for the lower world. Val derech ma she'amru azal b'nogea l'akadosh baruch hu. As the sages say concerning God, shegam hu nikra tzadiko shel olam, who is also called the tzadik of the world. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, God said, Lo avo b'Yerushalayim shel mayla, I will not come into the upper Jerusalem, ad she'avo b'Yerushalayim shel mata, till I come into the lower Jerusalem. In other words, there is a correspondence between the upper world and the lower world. And what happens in the lower world generates what is happening in the upper world. There is a phrase, Hashem Tzilecha, God is your shadow. So that means that what the person does here in this world makes a shadow, and that shadow is what God does in upper worlds. So there is there's another explanation, Da Ma Lamaila Mimach. Now normally that's from Pirkei Avot, it's normally translated, know that which is above you. But the Mezritcha Magid said, it means as follows, Da Ma Lamaila, know that that which is above, Mimach, is from you. Mimcha, comes from you. So in other words, the lower pleasantness generates the upper pleasantness. So
I think in a way you've hit the nail on the head there, because it's like it's not knowledge and wisdom that enables this. Well, of course it does, but only to an extent. What enables this connection, this drawing down, I think, as you said, is this key word, pleasantness. And it's interesting that, for example, in Tanya, it's written how God smiles upon the unlearned, especially those people who can't really read Hebraic texts. They don't know much about the religious background. They just know perhaps one or two prayers, and they say these religiously to themselves and in the community. And it's this kind of pleasantness that their absorption in the few prayers that they know, which has this amazing knock-on effect from above.
All right, that's an interesting... certainly Hasidism broke the hierarchy of, the learned scholar at the top and the ignorant man at the bottom.
I'm only speaking.
Is very deeply grounded, you could say, in Jewish thought. And the Hasidim did deconstruct this. And, so there is a whole genre of Hasidic stories about the rabbis in the synagogue, and it's Sukkot, and he has got his lulav and etrog, which he is shaking, and the simple man has got his lulav and etrog, and somehow it is realized by someone that the simple man, when he shakes his lulav and etrog, then the heavens really shake, whereas when the scholarly rabbi shakes his, nothing happens. So, of course, this scandalized the rabbinic class, who took action to no effect, ultimately. But certainly that deconstruction is taking place. Whether that could be pinned on this construct over here is an interesting idea, because it's using the word naicha, this pleasantness. Although usually when the Zohar uses the term pleasantness, it's, although this is actually from the Midrash, but it might define pleasantness in terms of Torah and Torah knowledge and mitzvah. Now, so if this is the case, all these illustrations are being brought in order to ask the question, why does it say this before Noach has actually done anything in order to make himself seem pleasant in this world? Whether the pleasant, what is it that?
Doesn't Parashat say that he was all right until then? So he was pleasant before the Mabul, and he was pleasant after the Mabul.
I think that's that's a question you can ask on this question. Because it says that he was Ish Tamim. He says he was Ish Tzadik. Tamim haya b'dorotav. He was a righteous man. He was pure in his generations. He walked with God.
And this is all before.
And the suggestion is this is all before. This is all before. And then comes the floods. And there he goes through some kind of amazing process and saving life for the whole world. but even before, he was already at this level. Mm-hmm. So I think one could, you know, one could give that as an answer, that that in fact he was righteous before. But I think the point that's being made here is that given that he's going to become, in a way, greater, he's going to achieve greater things. He starts off pure. I mean, it's a little bit like the life of Abraham. Abraham also started off as recognizing God. Then God says to him, Lech Lecha, go for yourself. Then he goes through a whole process, goes higher and higher, till he comes to the Akedah. And, you know, and it's at that point when it's really at the height, then you have Avraham, Avraham, then you have the double statement of his name. So although all these figures begin off on a high level, but they're going to go much higher, and so you would expect the fulfillment of this double name, which is operating in two worlds at the same time, you would expect that further on in their career. As it is the case with the other Abraham, Yaakov, Moshe, that with each of them it's later in their career that this is. It's interesting, the whole idea of a spiritual career, you know, that's starting off as a spiritual person then going forward. Umimanafshach, this is five lines down near the end of the line. Mem mem nun. Umima nafshach. This is a Talmudic phrase, very common in the Talmud. Whichever way you want to look at it, ma nafshach. What do you desire? Either this way or that way. So, o shahaya tzarich lichtov Noach Noach beit pamim. It should have said Noach Noach twice in Parshat Bereshit. In Bereshit, when we first learn about Noach, Kushanolad Noach, when Noach was born, that would be the very beginning. That would be the beginning. V'lobet holad Noach, not at this point, Kushanolad holid toldot kipshutam, when Noach gave birth to children, or kuperush rashi sheikot toldotem shel tzadikim he ma'asim tovim, or the idea that it's good deeds, but it hasn't yet fully explored all the height of these good deeds. Oh, it should have been b'shleimut avodato. It should have been at the conclusion, the perfection of his service. La'achadei sheveyarach Hashem et reich hanechoch, after God smelled this sweet scent. Alright, so this is one point. V'gam tzalich lahavim. We also have to understand. Dihine ita b'zohar. It says in the Zohar, la'katuv, eile toldot noach, noach ish tzadik. On this verse, these are the generations of Noach. Noach was a righteous man. Rabbi Chiya patach. Rabbi Chiya began and he said, Va'ameich kulam tzadikim. Your people, God, are all righteous. Lo'olam yeshu aretz. They will inherit the land forever. Ta'chazi. You see this? Tafchet. Ta'chazi. Come and see. In the Gemara, it very often says Taf Shein, which stands for Ta Shema, come and hear. But in the Zohar, it says Ta Chazi, come and see. Kol Yisrael Itlon Chulka La'alma Da'ati. Every Jew has got a portion in the world to come. My time, why? Begin the Natrin Brit, the Alma Itkaim Alei. Because they keep the covenant on which the world is based. And from this we can understand the Ma'ash Noach Ish Tzadik, the idea that Noach is a righteous man, Shaykh Luchol Achad V'Achad Mi'Yisrael, that applies to every single Jew, V'Ahainu, and that is, De'la'achle Kol HaShak L'Bataria. After all the discussion, the Perush Divrei HaZohar, in the meaning of the words of the Zohar, Mawa Shaykhud Dinatirat Habrit, what is the relevance of the guarding of the covenant, the Chol Echad Mi Yisrael, the Noach is Tzadik, of every Jew, to Noach, the righteous man, Harekain Itabazor, we learn in the Zohar, the Noach is Tzadik, Shaykhud Chol Echad Mi Yisrael. the idea that Noach is a tzaddik relates to every Jew. So in other words, it's discussing there on what is the basis of this, what is the basis of this. It's the idea of keeping the Brit, but in fact, the basic concept is there, that the righteousness of Noach and everything we say about Noach, including the idea of going into the ark and the making the window for the ark, all these are in the life of every single Jew. Val pisa tzarich lomar, and so we have to say the inyan Noach, Noach shnei pamim, that this idea of doubling the name of Noach shaych gam kein lechol echad b'mi Yisrael also applies to every Jew. So, in other words, in another page of the Zohar, it somehow goes round and round trying to show the relevance of Noach's spiritual achievement to every single Jew. And so, therefore, this concept that we started off with, the idea of the doubling of the name Noach, that also applies to every single Jew. But tzalich lahavin, we have to understand, now we have to understand what is the idea of doubling this name, in other words, being in this world and being in a higher world in the service of each individual Jew. Okay, so we're on page 48 where it says Vayuvan in the middle. Vayuvan kolzeh al pi hamavur ba'ohat Torah. Now, we can understand this through what is explained in the book Ohat Torah by the Tzemach Tzedek, by the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, basically quoting from Lurianic teachings. Dubanoach v'tevat Noach shnei pelushim. With Noach and the Ark, Noah's Ark, there are two Kabbalistic explanations. Perush harishon, the first explanation, da hateva hi yisod ima. The teva is yisod of ima. Now ima means bina. There's wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Actually, I meant to bring a diagram of the sphere up, and I forgot. I just wonder if I've got someone here a diagram. All right, let me just write down the basic things. We have wisdom and understanding, which is bina. Now, then there comes da'at, knowledge. Then we have what's generally called the midot, the emotional kindness, severity, mercy, victory, submission. And then we have a sphira which is called in Hebrew Yusod, and we'll come to that in a minute. And then we have kingship, Malchut. Now, in this pattern, wisdom is sometimes called the father, Av, and understanding is called the mother, Bina is called the mother, and they are seen as male and female relating together, and it is from their relationship together which knowledge, like the phrase Adam knew Eve, signifies a bonding together which brings out the progeny of the emotions, kindness or love, yes, severity or fear, different feelings which emerge, and they emerge from understanding. You see, understanding is bina, and bina is like hitbonanut, contemplation. So if you imagine this within the realm of a person contemplating, the wisdom is the nekudah, is the seminal drop of a basic germ of an idea, which is then cogitated on in the quality of understanding, of bina. And as a result of that cogitation, that hitbonanut, that deep thought, which, as it were, develops the seminal drop, as it were, into a whole child. Now, what is the child? What is the offspring? It might be deep love of God, or it might be fear, awe of the divine. So it's generating emotions which flow from that. So that's a way of understanding the connection between wisdom, understanding, as father and mother, generating these emotions. Now, there is a certain sense in which this pattern of the Sfirah has a anthropomorphic form. And in the anthropomorphic form, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge are like the brain, the mind. And then we have kindness and love, the right arm, severity, fear, the left arm, mercy, the body. Then we have victory and submission, and yesod. Now, yesod, if we were just translating it as in these other ways, we would translate it as dedication. Bonding. Yesod is the quality of these sfirah bonding, if we're just looking straight down the line of the sfirah, these upper sfirah bonding with kingship, which is the feminine. And so there is a sense in which yesod is the phallus which bonds with the feminine. And so that is the spiritual root of the genital, which then connects with the feminine. And the way the imagery is that each of these different qualities, like, for example, understanding, has 10 sfirot within understanding. Kingship has 10 sfirot within itself. So within understanding, there are also 10 sfirot, and there is a yesod within understanding as well, and that is the feminine genital. So therefore you have the idea of the masculine genital connecting with the feminine genital on the level of wisdom bonding with understanding, or it might be these sfirot bonding with the feminine sphira, kingship. Now, in the Lurianic Kabbalah, this sort of sexual imagery is extremely common. And maybe this contributes to the, you know, widespread theme of not making Kabbalistic teachings too widely available, because of the fear that this apparently erotic imagery would be misunderstood and would lead to, lahavdil, some kind of tantric processes taking place in Jewish society, which to a certain extent did take place under the very disordered Shabbatean phenomenon, when all kinds of spurious or impure interpretations were followed to the level of the extremely problematic which horrified all Jewish society. However, usually these Chabad discourses don't go into this particularly deeply. One of the reasons being, I think, that the discourses are intended to be studied by young people as well. By, you know, 15-year-old girl will also be studying what is the discourse the Rebbe taught. However, sometimes it comes up, and so here we have it here. And in fact, there's a very profound teaching which emerges out of it, and let's see if we're able to understand it.
So, sorry to interrupt. I know that kingship, Malchus, is the vehicle of speech. It's speech. And can you not argue that these feminine qualities is merely a metaphorical term to describe something that is receptive from God.
Well, it all works backwards and forwards. Mm-hmm. You know.
But what would that mean to us is that you have all these words, all these spheres, everything stemming from Bina, Dat, and wisdom, and they all filter through the Dani spheres, but that ultimately Malchus would be the form of expression for all these different filtering systems.
And in a sense, that's like the woman who gives birth to the child.
Although in this sense it would be our speech giving birth to
the creative
element.
Yes, I mean in that sense, you see, it's Malchut, which is the point of actual creation.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are considering these Sfirot being in the world of Atzilut, which is still a part of God, so kingship is the point where God speaks. Let there be light, let there be a world. And so from that emerges the creative force of creating the world, the next world down. And then you have the same pattern at another level and then lower down. And and the idea of calling kingship speech, as it says in the Tikkuni Zohar, which we say Erev Shabbat, before Mincha, Malchut Peh, kingship is the mouth. And also a kind of an association of the feminine with speech. It's a whole spectrum of images which flow one into the other and interconnect. And together with it is the idea that real men and women take their source, their spiritual source, from this mystical background. And that is the true nature of male and female in this world, you know, infinitely removed from this spiritual source. But nonetheless, the connection of man and wife, husband and wife, the connection between husband and wife is something which is of an infinitely spiritual kind. And so these teachings, they are the reality which underlies the spiritual reality which underlies the physical image which is here in, or the physical construct which is here in this world. Yes.
What's the place of knowledge there? That.
You mean here, that. Yes. You see, that is the bonding, the quality of bonding. And so knowledge and yesod really have a similarity together in that wisdom bonds with understanding. Together they bond with these, they feed these emotions. And it's the quality of da'at which makes everything connect together. Knowledge does not have the power that the Hebrew word da'at with its Kabbalistic connotations has in this respect. So it's like knowledge, as it were, caring, taking to heart. You can know something and it doesn't have any effect on you, and then you can know something and it takes your whole breath away. So there's a famous Hasidic illustration of this, that there was a man in a village and he got a letter and he couldn't read, so he took the letter to someone who could read and he asked this other man to read the letter. So the man reads out the letter, and unfortunately the letter says that the ignorant man who can't read, his father has passed away. So the man reading the letter understands it perfectly well. He just reads the letter deadpan, you know, maybe feeling a bit upset for the other chap. But the other man faints, because when he hears that his father passed away, he's very upset and he faints. So one is reading below that without it mattering, and the other one is reading with this caring that it really means something to him. So
But isn't this also to do with your spiritual level and your spiritual connections? I mean, for example, the Mittler Rebbe, isn't it so that his arm became withered and wrinkled on account that his pupils were not striving as hard spiritually as they should, and that was like having a physical effect upon him?
Yeah, absolutely.
Was he spiritually in tune with the emotions and consciousness of his pupils?
You're right. One of the goals of Hasidic teaching is that each individual should attain the quality of that. That's really a kind of a spiritual goal, which means that there is a reality in this person's actions and speech and thoughts and his service of God and every activity that he or she does. There is a deep reality there, because everything is bonded together in that person's makeup. Okay. So now let's tackle this rather Lurianic paragraph. Now, in the concept of Noach and the Ark, there are two explanations. Perush HaRishon, the first explanation, the HaTeva hi Yesod Ima, that the Ark represents the Yesod of understanding, the Noach hu Yesod Abba, and Noach is the Yesod of wisdom. So that is wisdom entering understanding. That is why Noach enters the ark. Right? This is a typical Lurianic construct around verses in the Torah. Bo el hateva, come into the ark. So he comes into the ark means a bonding of wisdom with understanding. Hainu halbashat yesod abab yesod ima, and that means the enclosing of yesod of wisdom in the yesod of understanding. Uperush hasheni, and the second explanation, berov hadrushim, in most of the discourses dealing with this, v'gam behemshech v'kocha tafresh lamadzayin lechvot kedushat admor marash. Also in a very, very beautiful, famous series of discourses said by Reb Shmuel in 1877. Wait a minute. In most of the discourses, it only brings the first perush, that the ark is the yesod of understanding. But in Or HaTorah, the Tzemach Tzedek, Huvagam Perush Hasheni, it also quotes a second explanation, which is what? Dahateva Yesod Malchut, the ark represents kingship. What aspect of kingship? Yesod, which is the way in which kingship can receive. V'noach hu Yesod Za, and Noach is the Yesod of these Sfirot, which is called Za, Zeh Ampin. And so the Noach represents this level of Yesod which enters into kingship. V'zeu ma sheNoach nichnas el hateva, bo el hateva. And that is why Noach enters into the ark, come into the ark. Hainu halbashat Yesod za, and that is the enclosing of this level of Yesod, Yesod of the Sfirot, b'Yesod Malchut, in the corresponding level of Malchut. V'zeu ma sheNeemar Noach Noach beit pamim. That's why it says Noach twice. Ki behetem l'shtei abchinot shebeteva, relating to the two aspects of the ark. Yesod ima, the quality of understanding. V'yesod malchut, and the quality of kingship. Tzarech liyod shtei bchinot shonot. There have to be two different qualities with Noach himself. Sheikantzu l'shtei abchinot hashonot shebeteva, which should enter into the two different dimensions of the ark. Yesod Abba Yametabesh V'Yesod Ima, the quality of that bonding of father to mother on the level of wisdom and understanding, and then of the emotions bonding with kingship. Yesod Zah Hametabesh V'Yesod Malchut. And that's why, ultimately, these two, the words Noach, Noach, are put at the beginning, Because that is the service of every Jew all the time, is these two qualities of bonding wisdom with understanding and bonding the emotions with kingship. Now, what does that mean in practical sense? V'hine inyan shtei abchinah, to the concept of these two qualities of Shebetevat Noach, which are in Noah's Ark, Yesod Imah v'Yesod Malchut, Ba'avodah, in the service of the person. Now this is the big challenge. It's very interesting. Moving from these Lurianic concepts, which in themselves are highly mystical and beyond understanding, because all of these concepts are really talking about God. So it's some aspect of God. But the Chabad approach to this, in order, it's interesting, among the Hasidic leaders, there were different approaches. There was one person, Rabbi Tzvi Hirshel Zidichov, who encouraged the study of Lurianic Kabbalah, but he made it into a fairly, I would say, fairly simplistic musar drasha, like an ethical teaching of fairly simple terms, quite different, more complex, was his student, Rabbi Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov, who was a famous figure called, he wrote a famous book called the B'nei Yisachar. Which is quite a... They're all in Galicia, these figures. Sri Hirshel Zidichov and B'nai Yisachar. But the Chabad approach is to present, to take the Sfira as the internal psychology of each individual, and to explore them in those terms, which often means that they have effects in terms of Shmirat HaTorah, or learning Torah, keeping mitzvot, they're expressed in terms of the daily life of a Jew. So Yesh Loma, one can suggest, says the Rebbe, how do you understand these two concepts of the union of wisdom and understanding, and the union of the Sfirot with kingship, which are the two kinds of ways of seeing what is meant by Noach entering the ark, that image of Noach entering the ark, that powerful image. Shua Chiluk, I'm sorry Malka's not here, because I think she would have appreciated imagery. Shua Chiluk ben Torah leMitzvot. This is the difference between Torah study and Mitzvot. The Torah, Shehi b'Havana v'Asaga, Torah is with understanding. Hibchinat Yisod Ima, that is the level of the understanding dimension and the organ with which one receives, one takes in, one imbibes the Torah teaching and understands it in one's mind. That is the gratification, you could say. That's the penetration of Yisod Ima, of that aspect of the feminine. V'hamitzvot, and the commandments, Sitzchim lekaimam bekabalat ol, which have to be kept with acceptance of the yoke, Ba'asher Dvar Melech Shilton, because thus God commanded, Heim chinat yisod malchut, they are like the quality of kingship, which receives and accepts the mitzvot, the flow from above, not as understanding but as a command. And that idea, Torah bina mitzvot hei malchut, the Torah is the level of understanding, and mitzvot hei malchut, shayach gam la yedua b'inyan, relates also to another concept about haniglot lanu ulvanenu. There's a phrase in Nitzavim, the idea that the revealed things belong to us, the hidden things belong to God, but the revealed things are accessible to us. Now, the hidden things belong to God, that's Yud and Hey. That's the two first letters of God's name. And the revealed things that are within our power, that's Vav and Hey. That's the second two letters of God's name. Vav and Hey niglot, Vav and Hey are revealed. because Vav is Torah, and Hey, and the second Hey of the divine name, is Mitzvah. Now Vav, this letter Vav in the divine name, represents the Midot, because these emotions, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, these six emotions are like the letter Vav, which has got the numerical value 6, so that is 6, and umidot shayachim lebina. Now the midot, the emotions, emerge from understanding. Ki binahi eim abanim, because bina is called the mother of the children, because through the process of understanding and itbonenut, of contemplation, through the process of contemplation, the emotions are born. Velechein Torah shehivav midot, and therefore Torah, which is 6, right? It's connecting Torah with 6. One of the ways this is done is Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, the 6 orders of the Mishnah. Shayecha lebina, that relates to bina, which is the first hey of the divine name. Vehei achrona, and the yud of the divine name is wisdom. See, so when you're looking at the divine name in terms of the sefirot, yud is wisdom, hey is bina, then comes vav, these 6 sefirot, and then the second hey is malchut. So the 10 sefirot together represent a pattern of the divine name. So the last hey, hey achrona hi mitzvot, is the mitzvot. Why is it the mitzvot? Now, how do you do mitzvot? Okay, so there we have the letter hey. The tziur ha-hey, the depiction of the letter hey, moreh al gimel shloshet ha-kavin, it indicates the 3 lines of thought, speech, and action. Thought is the line on top. Speech is the line on the right, which comes down. Action is the smaller line, which is disjointed from the other two, and that is action. So thought, speech, and action. And so that is the second hey. So we have the vav of the learning of Torah, which comes from bina, comes from there. And then this feeds into the hay, which is the performance of the mitzvot. So the area that we have directly under our control is the learning of Torah and the keeping of mitzvot. Or that's, you know, in a sense, that's directly under our control. You know, at a certain level of reading the nature of the life of the Jew, one can imagine that the learning of Torah and the keeping of mitzvah are under one's control. You know, now sometimes a person doesn't feel that. He doesn't think it's under his control. I think one of the messages of Hasidic teaching is that it is under our control. It's sort of empowering, like when the chief rabbi, Jonathan Sacks, visited the Lubavitcher Rebbe for the first time. Later he saw him several times, but this was his first meeting with him. And he said to the Rebbe, "I find myself in such and such a situation." The Rebbe said to him, "You mean you put yourself in such and such a situation?" So the ball is in your hands. It's up to you. So this is the niglot. These are the revealed levels, this vav and hey. You see, to really control the wisdom and understanding in its real form, in its, to have real control over one's inner consciousness, that needs a deeper level of inner spiritual mastery. But to say that I'm going to learn something tonight, or I'm going to study a Mishnah, or I'm going to keep a mitzvah, I'm going to give tzedakah, I'm going to put on tefillin, these are things that are within reach for a person. Now, since these 2 qualities of the Ark, Torah and Mitzvah, heim ba'ofan shoneh echad me'asheni, they are different one from the other, Therefore, there has to be also the idea of coming into the ark, two different qualities. One in the way of Torah, one in the way of mitzvah, and they are in different ways. Now follows a discussion of the difference between Torah and mitzvah, which in a sense is saying that in the Torah that one learns, there has to be understanding, whereas in the mitzvah that one does, there has to be bitul, there has to be acceptance. At the same time, towards the end of the paragraph, he says, well, actually, in Torah study, there also has to be bitul, because the process of Torah study is one where we relate to that which is higher than our understanding. So even though the mitzvah of Torah study is to take it into one's understanding all the time, and to argue it and discuss, and maybe this and maybe that, why does it say this, and there's this suggestion and that suggestion. Nonetheless, there is a dimension of Torah which goes beyond understanding, because Torah comes from God, and Torah is actually infinite and really is beyond us completely. So that's the...
Well, I heard, I can't remember who it was. It was one of the Babacher rebbes, one during the 19th century. It might have been Sholem Dovber, I'm not sure. But there was such an overflowing of thought in his mind that at times, even when he was giving discourses, he had to go hup, hup, or something. Mm. He had to make a sound which kind of astonished his audience, but it was there merely to put a break on the flow of thought, because it was just such an onrush. And what was interesting is that he likened thought, I mean, as you do, as a flow, but it's a kind of like, I suppose in its beginnings, like a mountain stream. It has rocks and boulders, and they are like obstacles. But the curious thing is that where you have obstacles, the flow of water in between the crevices becomes faster and sharper. So in fact, the obstacles become not a hindrance, but actually assist the flow of divine thought.
The energy of the flow.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a very beautiful image.
Except that for less water flows.
But less water flow. Yes, all right. But higher pressure, but less water.
So the bucket would take longer.
All right. Well. Okay. So let's go on to the next page, page 50, the second paragraph. Vazel.
I need to go in 5-10 minutes.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to try and stop. Vazeh inyan, right, page 50, Vazehu. Vazeh inyan shtei abchinot de tevat Noach. That's the quality of these two aspects of Noah's Ark. Shetzorech liyot ba'avodat kol echad ba'achad miYisrael, that has to be in the service of every individual Jew. The service of studying Torah and of keeping mitzvot, which all this is within each individual, whether it's in people who are learning in yeshiva, masters of Torah, or people who are learning later in life, or Baalei Asakim, or business people, Mare Uvdin Tavin, who are the masters of good deeds. And he goes on to say that each group, as a social group, has to also be involved in the activities of the other. The businessman has to study Torah, and the person who studies Torah all day also has to do mitzvah. Now, Vehine, next paragraph. In a number of the discourses, it explains that the idea of Noah's Ark in the personal service of the individual is the service of Torah and prayer, like the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, that the Teva, the Ark, which also means word, Hei Motiot HaTorah Tfilah, are the letters and words of Torah and prayer. when it says come into the ark, it means going right into the letters of Torah and of prayer. And when it says Tzohar Ta'aseh LaTeva, make a window for the ark, that we have to make, Tzrichim La'asod, we have to achieve Sha'otiyot, the Torah Tfilah, that the letters, the words of Torah and prayer, Yim'irim, they should be shining, like that Tzohar, that window, or that precious stone that shone. V'hainu Sha'avodat HaTfilah Shelo Tiyeh B'Tbonunut, when one prays, it should be with the service, the style of contemplation, with awe of God and love of God, as explained in Tanya, that without awe and love, the words of the prayer cannot fly upwards. There have to be wings. And the wings help the words of prayer fly upwards, and you also need wings in study of Torah, through which it flies upward. So, the delight, now this next paragraph, the delight of this service will be revealed in the future. But it's drawn down through our activities now, the lefum tzara agra, according to the trouble is the reward, and there's a descent in order to rise. And so therefore it's through that, through the fact of the person making the effort in this world now, through that comes the delight in the service, of this service. And since Mikiven Shigam is Manovada, even at the time that one is doing this service of study of Torah, keeping mitzvot, Kva Yodim al Dva Tanuv Shitkalela Atid Lavo, one knows about the delight that will be in the future. And therefore, even if the Avodah is difficult and there are all kinds of concealments, nonetheless, and the knowledge that this is has a spiritual purpose which will be revealed in the future already gives the delight right now, and especially considering the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov that the place where a person's thought is, that's where he is now. So in other words, the idea of an aspect of our behavior being in this world and an aspect being in the world to come, that in a sense this is relevant to every person right now as well. So the time barrier is removed, and it's there all the time.
Doesn't this sound like doing things for reward?
Well, it's interesting.
Not just reward, but reward here.
Yes. There is a sense in which in Hasidic teachings there is a tangible sense of immediate experience of spirituality, in which sense the reward of a mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. By doing the mitzvah, there is such a sense of connection with the divine that is its reward. That ta'anug is the reward. And that you can spell out that, there will be ta'anug in the world to come, but it's actually the reward is here at this moment. The very first article I ever wrote about Hasidic thought was called The World to Come in This World, in the teachings of the early Hasidic teachers, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef of Polonia, I think. That's the Baal Shem Tov and Rabbi Yaakov Yosef. So, but that concept, that the Ta'anug and every other kind of concept, which, the idea of doing something for a reward is very, is there in Jewish thought, even though Antigonus Ish Zohar said, don't be like servants who serve their master only for the sake of a reward. So that comes up in Hasidic thought as well. But there is a tangible sense of meaning, as well as bitul, which goes beyond the ta'anug. You see, delight is something that the person feels through the positive connection with God. Bitul, selflessness, goes is a step beyond that delight as well. So it's always a kind of an interplay. It's an interplay of these two things. So that is that even at the beginning of a person's service, there is this whole concept of the delight that will be in the future. So that explains the whole discussion about why is it at the beginning of Noah's service? Because in the life of an individual, all the future benefits and future spiritual rewards and of every kind, they are there. They are there immediately. Now, if we move over to the page to the last part, he then talks about the way in which a person can be, in a sense, of lacking something. Even though he has, we're beginning like five lines down. The person has, every person, every Jew is considered a ben melech, a prince and a princess. And everyone has got the dvarim amuchachim, the necessary things. What are the necessary things? He takes an image from the Talmud, talks about a poor person. The Mishnah talks about a poor person who needs charity. So you give him what he requires so that he should have food. But what about a rich person who needs charity? A rich person might feel very bad if he doesn't have a coach with horses and servants running in front of the coach. So you have to make him feel normal. If he doesn't have a Rolls Royce, he's not normal. So you have to give him what he feels is normal to him. So these are the things which are essential for the prince. And then you have the idea of wealth as well. What is wealth? Every kind of precious thing. Now, in the middle of the page, Otsrot hagnuzim b'chatumim me'ein kol ro'eh, hidden treasures which are hidden from the sight of any person. V'gam ha'melech ba'atzmo lo ishtamesh b'em l'shum davar. Even the king himself has never used these things for anything. And these are now given over into a person's hands. And by this, the Rebbe means, there's like a reference to other discourses. He's talking about Torah teachings. The wealth is Torah teachings, which are given over to the person. Extremely rare Torah teachings, like the Torah teachings of Chassidut, which are given over to the person. So even when a person has all of this, but nonetheless he's suffering. Why is he suffering? Because there's the idea of haster astir, God is still hidden. You know what? You might have broken through to a tremendous revelation of God, but there's someone else in the world who hasn't yet achieved that. So in terms, and the Rebbe is concerned on a universal level, that means that God is hidden. And if God is hidden, now this is the step, Eli, where it's going beyond the personal reward. The personal reward, the person can have everything. He can have Gan Eden, he can have Tanug, he can have personal revelations of God.
But if someone else doesn't have it, then that's not it.
That's it. That's right. And so that's completely beyond that whole self-centered spirituality. It means that the inwardness of the uppermost level, Pnimiyut Atik, the inwardness of Keter, hasn't been revealed. And so therefore, there is lacking in that closeness with God of Bakshu Panai et Panecha Hashem Avakesh, seek my face, I seek your face, God. V'al yedei ma'asenu v'avodotenu, but through our actions and our service, Yitgale la'atid lavo, will be revealed in the future, Hanaycha d'rucha, the pleasantness of spirit, She'em enucha v'tanug, there will be rest, there will be delight. And even before this, Yel Ulocho b'nei Yisrael haya'o b'moshvatam, that for the Jewish people before they went out of exile, they had light where they were during the 3 days of the plague of darkness. And in physical terms, in children, life, good health, and panasah, revicha, abundant panasah, in a way of tangibly being able to see physically the spiritual dimension and the physical dimension together, and then will be atchalta d'gula, the beginning of the redemption, and then the gula amitit v'ashlema, and then the true and complete redemption, b'mehera b'yameina, b'yameinu, quickly in our days, v'agala didan, in our time, mamash. Brilliant.